Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Cookie Cast. So in Cookie Cast, it's the darkest timeline. What have we got for you this week? At risk. That's right, at risk. Technology. We've got a little bit of technology to talk about. One from a handheld technology, one from a slightly larger technology. We've got no TV. If you're specifically here for the TV section, I do apologise. It's been a bit slack recently. But there are movies and plenty of computer game things to go through. Before we start, please do consider like, share, subscribe and comment. Leave a review where you can leave a review. And yeah, share the podcast around wherever possible. Please, 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 please. Right, let's get started. Here we go. This is Cookie Cast, the darkest timeline. Hello. 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 No, I'm not doing a sound test. I'm being a silly Billy. Oh, very much one of those situations. I don't know if I feel like I'm in the right position. And it's going to bug me until the final form emerges and the comfortable position presents itself. Until then, I'll just deal with the discomfort. Oh no, the dog thought I was talking to him. And emerged from his pit, making as much noise as possible, as you can probably hear. But at least he took a break from the snoring. Unlike last week, where he basically snored through the entire podcast. So check that out if you haven't already. Sometimes podcast features things where I talk about it and I'm like, hey, you know, here's a thing that happened. It was just a thing. Other times it's like, hey, here's a thing that happened, and I end up being vague. And then there's times when I'm like, here's a thing that happened. I'm going to talk about something that is difficult, but it's part of the reason we're here. So, a few months ago, and I don't know if I spoke about this at the time, a few months ago, I feel like it was around Christmas, so it wasn't that long ago, I had a text message saying, oh, you can get a free blood pressure check from the local chemist. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. You know, I'm aware that it's always good to check up on these things. You know, high blood pressure can be signs of heart disease, early indicator of being at risk for strokes. Low blood pressure, I found out a few years ago, can sometimes be classed as being worse than high blood pressure, which I was just completely blown away by, and then had that explained to me. I was like, all right, I never really saw it that way and stuff. So I'm like, yeah, I'm down with this. It's free, which, you know, few things in life these days are. You know, ooh, well, let's go for a riveting outing to get a blood pressure check. So I'm like, okay. I signed up for it, I did it, I went. I was asked about high blood pressure. Previously, I was like, I've always had high blood pressure until a certain point where I was told I had low blood pressure. So the lady that did the check, and she was like, how did you get here? Did you walk or drive? And I was like, well, I walked. She's like, well, maybe give it another minute. And just make sure that it's sort of settled. And when she did it, she told me not to talk. even though I had my son there. And I did my best to not talk and not move. And then she was like, no, your blood pressure is fine. And I walked away from that going, yes. Yes, that's a good thing. I'm at an age where apparently I get these messages now. But I feel like I've had a victory there. And kind of a bandage for a bullet wound. It's kind of one of those where it's like, yay, my blood pressure was okay while still being heavily overweight. So, you know. Recently, to be perfectly honest, there have been some struggles, difficulties. I was trying to think what was the tipping point. Today, while I was walking from the office to the car. And if I'm honest, I think I can pinpoint the point in time that was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back, which has made a series of things quite difficult for me. And being a person who, you know, ultimately has an eating disorder, I deal with things in the way that you deal with things when you've got an eating disorder. And if I'm honest, I feel a little stuck. I feel a little trapped. I feel a little like I can't get out of it. And there have been a series of days recently where I'm like, right, today I'm really gonna try. I'm really gonna do my best, and I'm really going to conquer this and get over it because it's silly and it's ridiculous and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And then on that day, I'll have a really good day. And I'm like, there, see? Easy peasy. Can do it. No problem. No dramas. Now I just need to do that every day for the rest of my life. And then 24 hours later, I'm like, well, that didn't go well, did it? So at this point in time, I feel like I am struggling. So that's that. That's where I am at the moment. With these struggles, these struggles have brought with them the additional weight I have put weight on recently. Part of me wants to say, not a huge amount, and another part of me wants to say, any weight on is a huge amount when you're already overweight. So, you know, double-edged sword kind of deal. Both edges will kill you, ultimately. So, going back to the blood pressure check, I got a text message a couple of weeks ago. It's like, hey, you can have a blood pressure check. And I was like, that's strange and interesting all at the same time. Because it seems soon after the last one. And I was a bit like, it's a yearly thing. And maybe if it's only just started sort of last year, maybe they've just picked it up as a thing this year. I'm pretty sure I spoke with you lovely people about a conversation with a doctor. Maybe that's triggered it. Maybe my last blood pressure check wasn't as good as I thought it was, and maybe I've flagged up as needing more check-in. Who knows? But I got the text message again, and I was like, absolutely, absolutely going to go for that. Now then, carrying that little bit of extra weight on top of the other extra weight, I was like, if I'm honest, I thought I was going to be all right. That's holding my hands up. That is me holding my hands up. Honestly, I thought it was going to be okay. The last time I went, because it was, you know, oh, your blood pressure's fine, there was very little sort your life out, dickhead. But there was, it wasn't like there was no sort your life out, dickhead. I don't think it helps anything that I take a child with me, because they're all, that's always like a go-to kind of, well, you know, you've clearly got children. Don't want to be, you know, not around for those children, do you? And it's like, well, of course not. So I go in. I'm going to double back to something that happened in the middle of all this, because it's a separate topic to talk about. So I go in and I have to sit and wait. And then the room's free and I go in. And it's a different person. Now, that doesn't overly matter. They were like, how did you get here? I was like, I actually drove. Now, not through laziness, through convenience. Me and the boy had a booking to get to for some baby gym action. And the only way to do both was to drive. I was like, well, I drove here. So the lady was like, right, let's get on with it then, sort of thing. I'm like, fine. She couldn't find my details, she didn't know why I was there, sort of system. I'm like, well, I had a text message, you know. Having checked my details for the fourth time, she eventually found me and was like, yeah, blood pressure check. She did the first arm. I saw what the results were, and I was like, yeah, yeah, it's all good, all gravy there. That one's fine. She's like, right, I need to do the other arm, I need you to turn around, I need you to do this, that, and the other. So I turned, and in front of me was the thing on the wall for these, the blood pressure regions. They use traffic light system, green, good to go, everyone's happy. Yellow, probably need to sort that out. Red, you're probably going to die soon. So I'm like, I'd looked at the first result and was like, okay. So I was looking, I was like, that's interesting, because that first result, which I'm like, all those numbers look fine to me. That first result would actually put me into the not so good category. And then maybe I looked at that wrong. And the whole time the thing's inflating and my son's jabbering on and I'm just trying to sort of keep him okay and fine whilst we're going through this process. So the machine finished, and something that was interesting was the second result looked worse, and it didn't just look worse than the first one, it looked bad. So I was like, I am not a trained medical professional. However, so the lady's like, okay, she wrote the numbers down. She was like, as you can see, because she'd obviously clocked me looking at the thing, she's like, as you can see, your results will actually put you in this category. And spoilers, it wasn't the green one. And I was like, okay. I don't want to be a dick about it, but medical professionals love an opportunity to tell a fat bastard that they're a fat bastard. Ultimately, everything in your life is wrong because you're overweight. Now then, here's the twist in the tale. I agree. Because all problems in your life can be traced back to that. Something hurts, you're overweight. Struggling to sleep, you're overweight. Struggling to get out of bed, you're overweight. Struggling to get up the stairs, struggling to exercise, struggling to anything. If you are overweight, that is the first cause of the problem. So knowing this and being in this world that I live in, ain't going to be no surprise to me that you're about to tell me that, hey, I'm fat and I need to lose some weight. Now then, as we know from my many conversations about this, the issue I have is I may be overweight, but I am very active. Obviously not active enough, but I am active. You know, some days I run twice a day. But I refer you back to my how I started this conversation. Obviously, I am aware things ain't right. So yeah, it was all, you're fat, you need to lose some weight, you're going to die, your children aren't going to appreciate it, you can't see a doctor anymore. That was one of my favourite bits. You can't see a doctor anymore. I'm like, you're saying that like that's a thing. Because it's a thing. So I guess, yeah, I guess we're doing that now. Stop eating salt. And before you say it, salt's hidden. I'm like, I actively avoid salt, apart from the fact that I know I need it in my diet. So I then seek it out. It's very hard to explain. Yeah, just a barrage of, you're fat, you need to lose some weight, stop being a dickhead. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you got a point there. I'm with you. I'm on your team. Oh, you know, all that sort of stuff. Basically, at that point in time, I just wanted to get out of the room and very quickly send Leon a message going, I'm at risk. She's like, what does that mean? Like, I'm fat. What do you think it means? She's like, well, there you go then. Like, yep, guess so. You'll all be pleased to know that I've corrected the error of my ways, and I have now put myself on the path to getting out of the at-risk category for blood pressure. Yeah, I've not done that at all. So doubling back to what something I was going to say, going to the chemist was a twofold thing because I had a prescription to collect. So I went in, I was like, firstly, I'm here to collect a prescription. Secondly, I've got a blood pressure check. So the person was like, well, there's somebody in the room at the moment, so let's do the prescription first. I was like, cool. She goes off, what's your name? I gave her the name. That was that. I'm stood at the counter, and there is an A4 sheet of paper taped to the counter. So I look down, and it says, as of the 1st of May, I think it was, there will be an increase in the prescription charge. And I'm like, all right, that's probably something worth making note of. I continue to read on. There's going to be an increase in the prescription charge. The new prescription charge will be £9.90. What the actual fuck is that? I get the fact that it's 10p short of a tenner. Now, here's the thing. I personally believe all life-saving medication should be free. It's one of those, you know, you pay your... Is it National Insurance that does that bit? Is that pension and tax, yeah. One of those things that comes out of your wages pays for, I'm guessing, tax. Let's go with tax. Shows how much I know about life. And I would very much like, rather than paying to bomb other countries, and a multitude of other things that I could spend hours talking about, you know, massive corporations not paying tax on anything, and et cetera, et cetera. Rather than any of that, I'd really like it if some of that money that goes towards missiles and tanks and things could be used to pay for life-saving medication. Now, obviously, that's not going to happen, because why would it? Why would we want to keep anybody alive these days? So, instead, apparently, somebody decided that £9.90 for life-saving medication was a reasonable amount of money in any realm of possibility. What is that? I understand the quote-unquote cost of living. Yeah, the quote-unquote cost of living is driven almost exclusively by massive corporations. So, you know. But anyway, cost of living. How does cost of living impact the astronomical price of medication? Something like that should just be a flat, affordable rate. What happens when there's somebody there that says, well, I've got a choice between the food I eat and the life-saving medication. Either way, I'm going to die. I honestly wonder if we're not far away from that, like now, or maybe even at that point. But this went through my mind whilst I stood and waited, because, you know, they've got to go and get the prescription. She brought it back. She was like, do you pay for your prescription? And I was like, uh-huh. She was like, that's £9.65, please. I was like, for fuck's sake. How? I was going to move on. How is that a reasonable amount of money for something like that? Honestly, I understand there are things in my life that aren't in my life anymore because they are what is now considered to be a luxury, which was previously just like, hey, that's just a thing. Just a thing we get. And now it's like, hey, that's just a thing that we used to get and we don't anymore because it's now considered a luxury. And a luxury by all possible standards. And, you know, I'm talking about, like, crisps. So, I get it. There's nothing I can do about that. I'm not saying there's anything I can do about this, but there's nothing I can do about that. And it's just the way it is. And I just have to say, okay, I don't have that anymore. Because apparently we're just all about gouging wherever possible. Cool. The thing that keeps me alive, yeah, I'm not overly fond of that. Not a big fan. And let's face it, there will come a point in time where they'll just say, hey, you know, this has got a little bit too much, so we're just going to reduce it. No. That price is only going to go up because, let's face it, the next price increase, which happens about every, 3 months? It's going to break the £10 mark, isn't it? Anyway, let's talk about something a little bit lighter, shall we? I don't know if I've mentioned this already. I don't think I have. I may have done. Anyway, doesn't matter because I'm going to talk about it anyway. So what difference does it make? So, well, a bit close to that. How do I start? How do we start? Steam Deck is what I've written down on my list. For anybody listening right now that doesn't know what a Steam Deck is, Steam released what is basically a portable PC. It's a handheld gaming system. Solely run on the Steam platform. So if you've got a PC and you've ever bought a game on Steam, you can play it on a handheld device, portable device. Obviously, there's the thing that, you know, you'll need internet connection, Wi-Fi connection, etc. for certain things. But if you've already downloaded the game, away you go. There's a variety of different features. And ultimately, when they were announced, I said, that sounds largely pointless, doesn't it? At which point in time would you use that item? And that was kind of the end of it for me. That was a little while ago, and they've gone through a variety of different stages. There is now a OLED version. I need to say this thing. When people are like, oh, the you know, higher definition and blah, blah, blah. When people talk about like, oh, it's OLED, I'm always like, okay. And I know when you're dealing with, oh, this makes a difference, this visually makes a difference. But if you don't have that difference in front of you, it doesn't make a difference, if you kind of get my meaning. So there was this a conversation started at one point about the fact that you can now get an OLED version. And I think it kind of sparked from there. And I was like, honestly, it does interest me. I'd kind of be interested to sort of give it a go, give it a whirl sort of thing. But I just can't see myself shelling out £300-£500 on a dedicated gaming system, which I would probably sit and play next to my PC or next to my PlayStation or next to my Quest. Now, obviously, the Quest falls into the category of a dedicated gaming system, but obviously, VR. As time went on, the conversation came up more and more with a group of people. And one of those people had a Steam Deck. And then a conversation was sparked about the fact that Lenovo, which is a company I quite like. Lenovo have done a couple of items that I've had experience with in the past, and they have been really good. I genuinely think as a company, they're pretty good. They're kind of innovative, is that the right way? For certain things. I think they're coming in doing good stuff. So apparently these guys had like a challenger for the Steam Deck. And the big thing was that it worked on Windows and blah, 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 blah. The person I've been talking to, person in question, person who had the Steam Deck was very intrigued by this and was like, hey, I've seen one in a shop. Let's go and look. So we went and we looked. And I was like, I mean, it's cool. It's definitely ticking some boxes. The conversation about how there's the possibility it would run the Quest. And I was like, excuse me. That really piqued my interest. So I was like, oh, now then we're talking about like portable PC gaming and portable Quest PC gaming. That's a game changer. So, more conversations about it. Further down the line, the person I was talking to, the person in question, was like, hey, we've had these serious conversations recently. If you want, I can lend you the Steam Deck because I may have picked up the Lenovo version, and I am very much invested in using the Lenovo version. So the Steam Deck's just, you know, there if you want to give it a whirl. By this point, I was that intrigued. I was like, do you know what? Sure. Let's do this. I'm going to have a go. And I have like a day, a couple of days with it. Give it a whirl. That'll be that. The whole time, the entire time, I'm like, it's not for me. I have no use for this item. I've got the Quest, which I dedicate X amount of gaming time to. I've got the PlayStation. I've got, you know, a backlog of games as long as my arm. And not outside of that, I've got a backlog of everything. I've got a backlog of TV series, films, books, life goals, you know. I've got a backlog. It's nice to be able to say, if I'm honest, because there was a point where that wasn't a thing. So, there's the part of me that's intrigued. There's the part of me that knows the truth. I'm not giving you £400 for something I don't need. Simple. My Steam library was 85% VR games. I owned like some Monkey Island games, which weren't for me. They were for Liam. I owned a game that I bought donkeys ago because it was the cheapest possible game you could buy on Steam, which allowed me to get a deal to get another game cheap. I think there was some weird thing where if you bought any game, you got another game cheap, and it was the other game I wanted. And at this point in time, I can't even tell you what it was. It might have been Tabletop Simulator. That's a whole other conversation. And then there was like two or three games, random games that I've picked up, like not even probably paid money for. I think the one game that I looked at, I was like, oh, cool, I'll play that. A friend gave me a code for it for free. So, I said to Leanne, I was like, oh, I'm getting this thing. So I tried to explain it to her, which was like trying to explain it to cheese or something. It's just one of those things. Sometimes aspects of technology escape some people. And it was one of those things. Quick turnaround. I'm like, yeah, let's do this. And then the next day, I was like, here you go. Thanks. That's cool. I'd look at it, which at that point in time, I mean, I'd seen a picture. I'd never actually seen one or held one. I'm like, it's big. And that was kind of that. I took it away with me, took it home, did the whole, you know, putting my Steam account on it, and then went, there we go, I guess. And I had a little bit of a play. And that was kind of that. Almost, some would say, suspiciously, I think it was the next day, I got an email from a company that I will talk about shortly. And they were like, hey, do you want all of these first-person shooters? For like, I think it was like £14. It's like, yes. Yes, I do. So I gave them 14 quid, got some like nine first-person shooters. I'm like, this is perfect. This is the perfect thing to really test this machine, to put it through its paces. I had a conversation with the person that lent me the machine. They're like, hey, you should look and see what's free. So I had a look, what was free. And the one thing that jumped out, which I was like, that is amazing to some degree, Sims 4 was free. Absolutely not my kind of game, but I thought Lan might be find it interesting. And weirdly, I thought that my eldest might fancy a go at it. So, I got these first-person shooters, and I was like, right, it's time to put this this machine through its paces. Played one, I was like, not for me. Played another, I was like, this is for me, but I can't work out how to invert the controls. So, although I'm really liking this game, can't play it because, you know, shooting game, and I can't aim. Played another game, was like, it's okay. And then I put another game on, and it was one of the games in the bundle that really stood out to me. I was like, that sounds really interesting. I mean, first-person shooter, it's not like it's rocket science. One of the games in the bundle was Quake 2, so I'm like, I'm probably going to be covered there. So I started playing this game, and I started getting really into the game. The game was really doing it for me. But the machine, the Steam Deck itself, started to do this kind of, I'm quite useful, aren't I? And I was like, yes. And for example, at this point in time, there's X amount of time left of this podcast, unfortunately for some. And then there'll come a point in time where I will go, right, I need to code the podcast, upload it to the internet, and that takes time. I can't walk away and go and play PlayStation because ultimately I'll have to come back and do something. And likewise, I don't really feel I can put the quest on because I'll have to keep taking it on and off to be able to do the podcast bits. But do you know what machine really fits into that area? Steam Deck. So, the Steam Deck started carving out a section. So I was having a conversation with the person that lent it to me, and I was like, look, here's some of the things I like, and here's some of the things I don't. And when I started going through some of the things that I didn't like, they were like, you know, you can change that, right? Like, no. They're like, one of the things about the Steam Deck is it's very customizable. It's got additional buttons on the back. You can assign those buttons to do certain things. I said that I'd got a game and I couldn't get off the main screen because the game had been designed for mouse and keyboard. Steam Deck is basically a giant controller with a screen in the middle of it. No mouse and keyboard without plugging one in. So the person that lent it to me was like, just assign the keyboard keys to the buttons on the Steam Deck. I was like, you can do that? They're like, there will be like default mapping controls to make it so that it mimics mouse and keyboard. I was like, okay. They're like, bring it back. And I was like, whoa. They're like, no, bring it back and I'll show you how to do this. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I took it back to them. They were like, look, if you do this, this, and this, you can then play this game. I was like, well, that's cool. I was like, hey, I could do the same to that game that I couldn't play, that other game I couldn't play, and just assign the buttons in a particular direction. So there was all of this like customizable stuff. And I said, look, the thing I don't want to do is break it by pressing a button. And they were like, you're not going to break it because you can just change the settings. Right. Cool. I'll do that then. I went away. Some point in the process, I ended up saying to my elders, hey, I've got this machine. It's like a computer in your hand. A bit like the Switch, but a bit more advanced. And I got a game that was free, but it very much sounds like your sort of thing. What, you know, would you fancy having a go? She was like, yeah, I'll give it a go. I'm like, uh-huh. Put it on for her, and it was obviously just the right amount of what she likes in games. And that was it. She was away. And not only was she away, she was doing it and controlling it and pressing the stuff and using the fact that it's the screen is touch screen, so that means you can maneuver around the game in particular ways. And after a while I was like, are you like doing it? Are you getting it? She was like, yep, yeah, I'm away with it. I was like, cool. Found out that Sims 4 is just free wherever you want it. So I was like, oh, I downloaded it to the PlayStation if you want to give it a go on there. She's like, yeah, okay. And then when she asked if she could play, she was like, can I play it on the handheld thing? Right. Yeah, sure. Put it on for her and she was just away with it. So I said to the person that lent it to me, I was like, I feel like I want to review it. And he was like, do it. Do a review. And I was like, eh. I don't know if I'm in a position to do like a full-blown, like, here's a review of the Steam Deck video or, you know, whatever. But what I will say is this. At this point in time, a machine that I was 100% convinced that I had no room in my life for turned up in this house and went, let me show you what I can do for you. And I went, yeah, okay. I'm down. Down to clown. Has it overtaken other gaming mediums? Absolutely not. At no point have I had to sacrifice any other time. What I have been able to do is say, I'm going to play this game whilst waiting for this podcast to code. Time that I was spent just watching YouTube videos, because what else could I do with my time? So in that sense, again, to, you know, use a particular phrase, but it's a game changer. As it stands at the moment, I will probably talk about the Steam Deck in the future, and there'll be some kind of decision made around, you know, do I need it, if you know what I mean. Did I tell you the treadmill broke? Did I tell you why the treadmill broke? Because I'm too fat. As my daughter, my youngest daughter, likes to tell absolutely everyone who will listen. I know what you're thinking. You're like, aww. No, absolutely love it. I believe in fat shaming. Treadmill broke. Spoke to treadmill people. They said, that is broke. I went, it sure is. That's why I contacted you. They were like, no, it's broken. I'm like, what? So they were like, yeah, we need to come and get it. And I was like, but I don't want you to. Can you not just make it? Can you do some magic and make it so you don't have to take it away? Because I like my treadmill. They were like, spoilers, it's broken. I was like, okay. I was like, hang on a minute. Can you give me a new one? They were like, sure, we can do that. If you give us the money. I was like, don't want to. But absolutely can't do without the treadmill. There's been a severe lack of certain exercise portions in my week. So I was like, I'm going to have to do something. So did a bit of monkey magic and said, hey, when you come and pick the treadmill up, can you bring a new one with you? And they're like, sure. I can't really explain this next bit. I don't know why I did this, but I arranged to have it delivered when I wasn't going to be here. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, that sounds dumb. I wasn't going to be here doesn't mean there wasn't going to be anyone here. Because Liam was going to be here. Because the new washing machine was being delivered. Whole of the story. Don't think I broke that because I'm fat. So, you know. Slightly different. So I was like, hey, well, you know, you're going to be here for the washing machine. How about you take delivery and get the old treadmill out while you're at it? She was like, hells no. And I said, good, because I've already arranged it. So I wasn't here. Now, this is crucial. I wasn't here when the treadmill was delivered. I got a message update saying treadmill's going to be here soon. I was like, cool. I then got a photograph of treadmill box in the gym. I went, cool. I jokingly said, oh, if you just want to get that put together before I get home, that'd be great. Obviously, this was a joke. I got a message and was like, I've moved the box. I was like, that sounds like a terrible idea. And I've managed to get it open. Like, all right, okay, cool. I returned home. The box was open. The box took up the entire available space in the gym. And I was like, what? The fuck? I was like, what's going on here? That box is massive. We quadruple checked the measurements for the treadmill. And I can say with 100% certainty, the treadmill was going to fit. I'm like, that box is massive. Why is that box so big? So in the end, I was like, that ain't getting done today. It's a job for tomorrow. I'll just have to skip any form of workout for one day and then, you know, reassess for the next day. Point being was that I was like, I know full well that I can't go longer than a day without working out. So something's going to have to give. So get to the next day. I am like, right. I know myself. Surprisingly, I know any kind of building, flat pack furniture of any description, any sort of electrical item that might need any sort of putting together, anything like that. A series of things are going to happen. Something's not going to go together, right? I'm going to lose my shit. I'm going to start shouting and effing and jeffing. And then something's going to get broken. It's every single time. It's something that for many, many, many years I have attempted to kind of try and work around. So I'm like, this is one of those things where I need to be on top of this. I know that this runs the risk of me losing my shit. It runs the risk of something getting broken in the sense that I don't put it together right. Or I lose my shit and it gets broken. And I can't afford for any of that to happen. So I need to be super zen. And I need to just get it done. So, here's my plan. The plan is, take it in stages. Go and do a bit, then leave it. Go and do a bit, then go and have a coffee. go and do a bit, take a break. I tried to find a video of how to put it together, and there wasn't one, but there was a video of how to put the old one together. And a key part of the video, which honestly was an absolute lifesaver the first time, and, spoilers, a lifesaver the second time. There's a section in the video where they're like, right, now break the box. Break off a certain section of the box because it'll make it possible for you to build the treadmill without taking it out of the box. Then once it's built, you can move it. Problem solved. It worked the first time. And like I say, spoilers, it worked the second time. I will say this. This whole process started with three times I went to look at it. Each time I went to look at it, I took a piece out of the box, found a home for it. And I'd already taken the instruction manual the first time, and I looked at it and I was like, okay, you do this, 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 you do this. Every part of it said, it's a two-man job. You know, obviously, incredibly sexist, but everything said it's a two-man job. I went back to the video and was like, that was the thing about the video. In the video, one person built that treadmill. And when I built the first treadmill, I built it. I think I can do it on my own. I looked at the instruction manual. The instruction manual said this one goes together ever so slightly different to the other one. I was like, that could be a problem. Could also not be. After three attempts of looking at it and magically nothing happening, I went, sod it. Let's do this. So basically it works on the principle that you stand the back legs up. The bit that's got the handles and the console. You stand that section up and basically attach the section that's got the console to the legs, and then you attach the leg, you make the legs so that they're upright. That's the first two bits. So I said, right, I'm going to do the first bit, like the console bit, and then I'm going to secure the legs at the base. Turned out, absolutely the wrong way around. That is not how it was supposed to be done. Didn't hugely matter. I say it didn't hugely matter, apart from the fact that the bolt hole on the left-hand side of the console did not line up. I knew straight away this was our first hurdle. The swears were coming, and they were coming fast. And I was like, no. I will not unleash a swearzy in this entire process. So I took a deep breath and I moved and squoze and rejigged and twisted and in every possible conceivable way tried to get the bolt hole to line up. And in the end, I managed it. I did it. No swearsies were uttered. I then moved on to doing the legs. The shortest version of this story is that the left-hand side of this treadmill is out of line. Everything I had tried to do on the left did not line up. But I just persevered and got it done. Boom, we've got the piece that holds the console, which for this one didn't hold the console. The console was a separate unit. And the legs secure. Right, okay, cool. Next. Okay, I need to put the side panels on. Now then, the side panels were where it all went wrong last time. I managed to build the entire treadmill. Got to the last piece, which was the side panels, and everything went to shit. I couldn't get the last panel on, and I lost my shit with it. So, I knew this. I immediately walked out of the gym, into the kitchen, boiled the kettle, made a coffee, sat down, drank it. I went back. Exactly the same problem. First panel goes on fine, second panel goes on okay, apart from one of the screws is doing that thing where it just spins. I triple checked it and then ultimately the panel was on and secure. The screw was just like, yeah, I'm here, but I can't tighten. And I went, as long as it stays on, I don't really care. I checked the instructions and found that the panels were the last thing that should have been done and the console should have gone on. I'm like, okay, no problems here. As it was, I had to open the doors in the gym and go and stand outside to put the console on. And here's where everything went wrong. The way they want you to put the console on is by putting a screw into four screws into four holes. And the distance between where you can put the screw in and the hole is about 2 inches. Yeah. Yeah, it's about as easy as it sounds. It was a fucking nightmare. Now then, I will say this. Although it was a complete and utter nightmare to do, not a single swearzy left my mouth. I did, however, say, why? Why would you do this? I feel that's okay. No swearsies. Just after finishing building the treadmill is now built. Just after this, Leanne comes in, she's like, right, I'm here to help move the treadmill. And I was like, the treadmill is built, so we can move the treadmill. Our previous treadmill had a fantastic feature. You fold it up, you push it backwards, at which point it rocks back onto a set of wheels, and you could move a very large and very heavy object with quite a lot of ease. Quite easy to move around, position it where you want it. Job done. The same company has taken that idea and gone, let's improve it. Let's make it better. Let's make it easier. We're going to move the wheels. I'm going to put them on the front where they have zero impact on moving the large, heavy item. Yeah. I managed to build the treadmill without doing a swear. Unfortunately, the 20 minutes it took to move the treadmill whilst going, who the fuck came up with this utter horseshit? Physically impossible to get it onto the wheels and move in limited space. Physically impossible to get it onto the wheels and move it almost at all. Had zero impact on moving that large heavy item. And I was like, you have got to be fucking kidding me. As it is, managed to move the treadmill, get it into position, had to re-move it and realign it in position. And that was that. Did get the opportunity to, you know, get it down, get it switched on and give it a go. There was this whole thing about adding oil to it. One of the cool new features it's got. Is it has an auto lubrication function. Not going to lie, although I accepted it needed to be done, it was one of the least favourite parts of treadmill ownership, having to do maintenance on it once a month because of the high level of usage. And a large amount of that was oiling said treadmill. Now you just put oil in a reservoir and it does it itself. Cool. Getting oil in the reservoir, not so cool. I didn't want it to be one of those situations where I ended up going, I liked my old treadmill. This one is new. It's turned everything up a notch, and it's gone real minimal, whilst also adding like touch controls rather than buttons. But I liked the buttons, and rather than taking the buttons away and adding a different control, instead they've just taken the buttons away, all of them. So if you want to go, I want to go speed 3, you press the 3 button. I want to go incline 5, you press the 5 button. Now, you don't have any of those options. You can put the incline up by using the touch controls. You can put the speed up by using the speed touch controls. You can even use a dial. There's got a dial. And it's, you know, turn the dial, speed goes up. Cool. Found if you press the dial, you can pause it. Cool as well. One of those things, there's a host of things that I don't like about the treadmill, and there's some things that I do like about it, and ultimately, I've used it once since I got it installed. I will be using it tomorrow. It's not like I don't like it, so I've not used it. It's not that. It's back end of the week. Treadmill doesn't get used. Don't use it on a Saturday, Sunday, or a Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, yeah, Thursday, sometimes, depending. I may, at another point, come back and talk about my treadmill in the future, when I've, you know, got into it. Final thing for the week, getting a bit long in the tooth, this one, I imagine not anybody listening anymore. Final thing for the week, I wanted to talk about being disappointed in myself. No real surprises there. This morning, I'm like, okay, here's the plan. Going to get up nice and early. And I'm going to get out of bed. I'm going to get dressed. And I'm going to go for a run. And I'm going to go for a run early. And I'm going to go for a longer run, long distance run. And I'm going to get back. And it's going to be early. I'm going to get in the shower. I'm going to get sorted. Ready to leave the house. I'll take my son to nursery, get myself off to work in a nice, timely manner. I'm not going to rush. I'm going to take my time because I'm going to get up early in a timely manner. My cat, on the other hand, was like, did you say you were getting up early? What's your definition of early? Because my early is half an hour before that, where I'm going to projectile vomit literally everywhere. Is that cool? I was like, no. So I'm awake half an hour before I'm supposed to be awake. Everything was set in stone. So I'm like, okay, half an hour. I can enjoy half an hour just. I'm awake. I can just enjoy the time. Now then, in my ultimately what will become my defense, getting up at that point in time wouldn't have made this kind of difference that I wanted to make. Getting up at that point in time, I didn't benefit from it. So I was like, right, I'll just enjoy the next half an hour, not having to get out of bed. And I will ultimately still get up nice and early and still get on with my day nice and early, which means that I'll be winning. Obviously, we know what happened. I fell back asleep, which I was absolutely convinced wasn't going to happen. So, surprise, surprise, that's what happened. I woke up later. Now, there's a series of things involved here. Waking up at this point in time, I knew I'd done fucked up. I knew it had to be later than I wanted it to be. I knew it had to be later than it could be, it should be. And I knew it was going to fall into the category of making things late. So, if that wasn't bad enough, I woke up feeling like I'd been hit by a train. I had the most monumental headache. And I actually felt like I'd been in some way run over. And it was pretty much downhill from there. There was the point in time where Leon was like, oh, I hope you didn't think you were going for a run this morning. And I'm like, I get a bit defensive at this. I'm like, what the hell do you mean? And then I listened for a moment and heard the torrential downpour that was going on outside. And I was like, ah, oh, wonderful. The moral of the story here is, ultimately, I should have got up. And I didn't, so I was punished for it in every possible, conceivable way throughout the entire day. Good times. A few things to go through entertainment-wise. I'll kind of rattle through them a bit because, yeah. No TV. Long story. One of those, I've got a massive backlog of TV, and that makes me not want to watch anything. So, anyway. Let's talk about movies. Movie in question this week is Kung Fu Panda 4. I haven't seen 1 to 3. Few things here. Number one, I have a very strange relationship with Jack Black. No, I don't know Jack Black. What I mean by that is, some things, I'm like, Jack Black, he was cool in that. I quite enjoy his character in High Fidelity. I really enjoy his character in Tropic Thunder. That might be it. Bowser. I enjoyed his Bowser. I have a strange relationship with Jack Black's music. Some of it I think is great. Some of it, meh. Rise of the Phoenix is one of the best albums possibly ever made. But, so yes, I have this very odd sort of relationship with Jack Black. I haven't seen Kung Fu Panda 1, 2 and 3. But my children have, and the fourth one's at the cinema. And I wanted to take them to see this at the cinema last week, but couldn't make it happen. So we went at the weekend. No sort of horrific cinema stories, I'm afraid. Just went to the cinema. I can safely say this. Firstly, my phone says King Fu Panda 4, which I kind of like a bit better. I certainly like it better than I liked the film. The film did absolutely nothing for me. Honestly, I've been to some animated films at the cinema. I think one of the ones that I went to where I was like, that film did nothing for me, was the second animated, the CG Addams Family film, did zero for me. Having not seen the first three, I was like, is it going to matter? Probably not. As it was, I don't feel that it did matter. I could muddle my way through the quote-unquote story. Couple of things that I was a bit like, Awkwafina does a voice. She does a voice of the other main character, shall I say. It just reeked of Raya and the Last Dragon. I was a bit like, really? This is what we're doing? And she was the voice of the spider in Bad Guys. I'm like, a little bit typecast. As a film, it did absolutely nothing for me. Literally nothing. I had no strong feelings one way or the other. Honestly, I could have happily not. I asked my children what they thought. They said it was very good. I was informed it was a good fourth installment. I was like, okay then. That sounds cool. So, a couple of things from the Steam Deck. The game I was talking about, the first-person shooter game that I was talking about is a game called Forgive Me, Father 2. Not going to lie, never heard of it. Also, was very intrigued when it said that it was set in some kind of... I think it was like H.G. Wells kind of world. And I was like, ooh, that's interesting. So far, touch wood, it's been very good. It's got some Doom elements to it. There's a lot of lever pulling. You have to go around the levels finding levers to open doors and finding keys to open doors. And all of that feels very Doom, like original Doom. But the weapons are cool. They're kind of like, here's a handgun, but it's kind of like distorted and a bit, I think Videodrome. Here's a shotgun that's just a bit, like the weapons are like a bit off, but when you fire them, they're really satisfying. A variety of different enemies. It's just, it feels like a really sort of punchy game. I've thoroughly enjoyed it up to this point. Like, genuinely, like, this is very enjoyable. So, absolutely loving that. One thing I will say is, I've had a series of Humble Bundles, was the company I was referring to previously. I've had a series of Humble Bundles in the past, all of which were VR games. Literally all of them were just VR bundles, which when I had working PC VR was an absolute game changer because you could spend a small amount of money and get a shed load of games. Having not had that option more recently, I've been a bit like, well, I don't need Humble Bundles. Humble Bundles have just magically reappeared out of nowhere going, hey, you got a Steam Deck, you want some games? And I'm like, yeah, what you got for me? They were like, oh, we got these shooters. You want the first-person shooters for almost no money? I was like, yes, give them to me now. And then a series of days later, they were like, hey, do you want some driving games? It's like what? They're like, oh, like rally driving games. And I'm like, yes, give them to me now. So I bought a big bundle of like rally driving games and other driving games. One of which is a game called Trail Out. Basically, the premise of the game is somebody said, hey, do you remember Destruction Derby from years and years and years ago? Wouldn't it be cool if we just updated that? And somebody else said, that actually would be really cool. And they then presented it to me and I said, tell me more. And they gave it to me and I played it and went, this is freaking awesome. Not going to lie, really enjoying that as well. Couple of other things. One of the games that I was saying that I couldn't get working was WR9, World Rally 9, I guess. I guess that's what that is. Couldn't get it working. Then I could get it working. But the way in which I got it working, not super enamoured with, so I've kind of had to put it to one side for now. I've gone back to it to try and change the controls for the better and couldn't, so I had to resort back to the ones that I knew worked. So I'm a bit in a kind of limbo at the moment with that game. I have WR10 to try. My fear is that it's going to tell me that it's the same controls wise. So I need to look into that. There is also a couple of others. Mud Runner, that just looks like absolute nonsense fun. Like I say, one of those, the more I play Steam Deck wise, the more I'll update, basically. VR wise, I think I'd said that I was going for the kind of palate cleanser by having another playthrough of Into the Radius. Honestly, it's just such an enjoyable experience. It's definitely gone in at the top end of one of the best games I've ever played. Trying to mix things up a little bit. I don't want to just keep playing the same playthrough. I keep buying the same weapons, and I'm a bit like, maybe I should try one of the many, many other weapons in the game. But yeah, just absolutely enjoying that. And what I'm doing is I'm just playing like an hour so that I'm not neglecting other games. Speaking of other games, I've been playing Diablo 4. Something that's starting to irk me with that game. You can get horses, mounts, as they're referred to in games like that. Every time I try and get a horse, they're like, oh no, you haven't done the thing in the game you need to do to get a horse. And I'm like, okay, well, I am level 40 at this point in time. Pretty sure there is a level 50 level cap. I think it's an original level cap. I think it does go past 50 for other aspects of the game. But how far into this game do you need me to be before you give me a freaking horse? Side note, the free DLC that came with the game, it was a horse. Outside of that, I've had a conversation recently where somebody said that they felt that Diablo 4 would probably just end up being quite boring. And my response was, I could see a lot of people playing it for so long and then just walking away from it. I have kind of reached that point now where it's like the game kind of started to get a little repetitive. It's very much go here, do this, then go into a dungeon, work your way through a dungeon, fighting the same sort of monsters, to ultimately end up with a final boss, which you fight and hopefully beat, to then go and tell the person who gave you the quest that you've done it. It is what it is. I'm still enjoying it. It's just starting to get in that repetitive kind of region. Also, if you ask me what any part of the story was about, I wouldn't be able to tell you. Finally, The Crew Motorfest. A game I went, do you know something? I'm going to take a punt on this. I had the trial, and I still had the trial going at the point in time that I decided to purchase the game, because I found that I could get it for almost, or very little money for a special edition. So I did that. And honestly, definitely a wise choice. That game has just gone from strength to strength to strength. As a driving game, it is very enjoyable. It really has sort of risen to the top. Diablo's sort of, you know, the bread and butter side of things, whereas The Crew has become very much the go-to game for me at the moment. I've been really enjoying that game. The playlist side of things is cool little feature. Put like all these different races together for you for all these different reasons. Super enjoyable. Just really, really enjoying it. As with anything that I've mentioned here, I'm sure I'll talk more at another point in time. But that is it for me. So, yeah, I'll catch you next time. So there you go. What do you think of that? honestly, they just get longer and longer and longer. One of these days I'm going to commit to splitting them into two, but obviously not today. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you for just being here. A few things before you go. If you haven't done these things already, please consider like, share, subscribe and comment. Leave a review where you can leave a review, and check out the website, thecookiecast.com. There we've got social media links and an email button for you to get in touch with us. That's it for this one. Till next time, I'm going to say bye, and I'll see you then.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to Cookie Cast.